Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It's the breakfast huddle. Elliot Danker, Bharati Jagdish, and Ryan Huang with you. It's time now for Why It Matters. And we're putting the spotlight on how COVID-19 has weighed heavily on talent strategies. It's been, as far as salary increases across our region's concerned, it's been quite muted.
Yes, in the past couple of years anyway. Mm. However, a new study by Aon has found that in Singapore, salary increases across industries, while they dropped to 3.3% in 2021 from 3.8% in 2020, in future you can expect all of this to normalize. Mm. Just to give you more data, bonus payouts, which were relatively insulated in 2020, also dropped between 20 to 25% this year across Southeast Asia. But this is set to change.
Yeah, you've got organizations settling into a new and agile workforce models. You've got compensation policies expected to sort of normalize to pre-pandemic levels next year. And this study shows that salary increases for Singapore, Malaysia and Thailand are forecasted to recover in 2022. Well, let's find out more about this study from Rahul Chawla, who is the head of Human Capital Solutions Southeast Asia at Aon. Rahul, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot. Very good. How are you doing?
Very good, sir. Thank you so much for helping us out with this salary increase and turnover study. We're into what, the second year now?
It's a fascinating study that we do twice a year, and results are always helpful to set expectations with clients as well as talent across the board.
The thing is, Rahul, this morning, Elliot and I have been talking, and Ryan as well, we've been talking about the massive salary packages that Chinese tech giants in Singapore are offering. Yeah. But clearly that has a lot to do with supply and demand in the tech sector specifically. Tell us what you found in your salary increase and turnover study.
Yeah, it was a fascinating discussion you guys were having. I was listening in very keenly. And you're right, you know, the tech sector has been at the forefront in getting those massive increases that you mentioned. And that's on the back of the capital they have access to through private equity and venture capital firms. But it's not just the tech firms, I would say. The salary increases or the disruption has been across the board. If you look at some of the more traditional functions like legal, HR, they also consider to be hot jobs nowadays because the ecosystem has been changing with a lot of discussions around ESG, climate change, financial instruments speaking to those. So it's an across-the-board phenomena. What we see is that industries are being disrupted. Industries are being disrupted through digital transformation that has been capitalized or accelerated by the pandemic. So what was automobile in 2020 may not be automobile anywhere in 2025 or retail may change. So it's not the Chinese firms, it's tech functions, digital skill sets, data scientists, roles like these which are hot nowadays, and they're getting increments as well as jumps when people join a new organization.
It's like timing the jobs market in that sense. Hey, Rahul, I'm curious, can we talk a little bit about the methodology here? I mean, who was surveyed in this study and how was it conducted?
This is a survey conducted globally across around 4,000 firms by Aon. It's called the Salary Increase and Turnover Survey. We've been doing it for a few years now. Mm. And it's a survey which is done every 6 months. Okay. It just does not report salary increases. It also reports turnover rates, which are also a hot topic nowadays. And this is, like I said, across industries. It covers financial services, tech, general industry, travel, hospitality. And it's done across the world twice a year.
Let's talk about Singapore specifically. I mean, there's so many sectors and so many salary ranges, bonuses as well, that one could discuss. In terms of top-line findings, what do you think are the most important data that people ought to use to inform their decisions going forward, whether it's candidates getting into the market for a new job or companies looking to hire?
Yeah, see, when you look at salary increases, and Bharati, you mentioned that salary increases in 2021 were 3.3% and they're slated to recover to 3.8 percentage points in the next year. We also need to keep in mind that these are salary increases on the back of last round salary. So what it means is that if you're saying that there's a 3.8% increase, that's on the last round salary that a person would have. That But what has happened in 2021 is also interesting to note. So while it was a year of muted salary increases, it was also a year of high inflation. So when you look at data released by the Singapore government, inflation is at an all-time, or not an all-time high, but at a high in the last few years. So companies recognize that. That compounded with this effect, which is called the Great Resignation, also made companies give off-cycle increases. So that what that means that 3.3%, which was done in 2021, by the time 2021 is coming to a close, will not look like 3.3%. It will probably be much higher than that. Then you add 3.8% to it. Mm. So it's a compounded impact. So what I'm trying to say is that companies are struggling with higher cost of talent. We do another study, which is called the Aon Global Risk Management Survey. Talent retention and attraction is one of the top 10 risks that companies in APAC are facing today, along with risks such as pandemic and cyber. So it's something which companies are mindful of, that they have to make sure that the budget and the salary costs are contained. From a candidate standpoint, like you were mentioning, it's not just salary increases with the Chinese firm. You mentioned the word culture. That's very important. You need to dig deeper into what the company offers by way of mobility options, by way of operating models, flexibility in operating models, and benefits, which are assuming a completely new dimension in this pandemic or endemic era that we are living in. The template that companies had of, you know, cool workplaces, gyms, free food, free snacks, is no longer valid. So the companies are going back to the drawing board, and employees need to ask those questions in all fairness.
Rahul, this, and I apologize if this question might be a little bit too much, but I understand that, you're looking at so much surveys, you're looking at so much data, right? So on the back of what you just talked about, managing that trend of increment, versus inflation and retaining talent, in your opinion, here in Southeast Asia, which country is doing better in managing this throughout the pandemic?
See, in Southeast Asia, obviously, if you look at salary increases across the board, then countries with high inflation rates always will have higher increases, right? So countries like Vietnam, Indonesia will report higher salary increase rates because of higher inflation
over there. Okay.
But what we've seen in terms of countries managing costs, I would say that they are barriers to talent flow within Southeast Asia has been a pretty fluid, porous talent ecosystem in which employees flow in and out of different countries, Malaysia, Singapore being a perfect example. So both Malaysia and Singapore are impacted by the closure of borders, talent being restricted to a particular geography. Companies within these sectors who have been ahead of the curve in deploying more flexible workforce models by identifying talent costs in different markets and deploying a location strategy which utilizes differential in talent costs are doing better. So I wouldn't say any country which is doing better. I would say companies who have recognized this reality and deployed workforce models which take advantage of virtual working and cost differences between countries in Southeast Asia are doing much better.
So it's a very nuanced strategy, isn't it, that actually works for companies which have a presence in various countries. Here's the thing, though. Speaking of nuance, it's not just about the money, is it? I mean, you have to look at your HR policies as a whole, don't you, if you want to win this war for talent?
Absolutely, absolutely. So how we see this in at least in Aon is that this is a perishable opportunity. Companies need to recognize that there is transformation happening and they are precipitating that transformation. And then they need to build a narrative around this opportunity, paint a picture of what this change would look like for the firm and for the employees. Once they have that narrative built, then they need to build a value proposition, keeping that picture front and center. Then it becomes a very positive conversation. Then you're painting a picture, you're saying what it means in terms of benefits, what it means in terms of working models, like I said, what it means in terms of skills that employees will develop, and what they will be paid for acquiring those skills or having those skills. And then they iterate on it. So there will not be a perfect fit in the first attempt. The companies who adopt this opportunity or recognize this opportunity, creating an employee value proposition before talking about an employer brand. Sometimes we confuse an employer brand with an employee value proposition. Companies who are recognizing the opportunity are creating a whole new employee value proposition based on data, information, intelligence, and that is helping them make better talent decisions.
Rahul, let's do a bit of forward planning. I can't help but do this. Obviously, a lot of people have taken a hit where their bonuses and pay increments are concerned. Now, we are trying to look at this positively and we're expecting things to improve next year. In your opinion, when can we expect, how long do we have to wait before we can enjoy the bonuses that we used to enjoy, you know, pre-pandemic, before we can enjoy a steady increase in increment, pay increment? What's your opinion on this?
Yeah, so this, I'll give you an answer, which is it depends. It depends on the industry you are in. If you look at some of the industries like financial services, and within financial services, private banking, investment banking, their bonuses would typically be as good, if not better, than pre-pandemic levels. The amount of activity that has happened in the capital market space, the revenues that have been generated are immense. Similarly, Singapore is a big wealth management hub, and Asia is an increasingly prosperous society. So as wealth is being created, that means wealth management firms are doing much better. If you look at some of the tech firms who are beneficiary of this whole transformation, are doing much better. So we have to recognize that bonuses are linked to outcomes, and those outcomes have a big financial weightage in them. And firms which are doing better during these times are giving out better bonuses. Now, if you look at the other end of the spectrum, travel, hospitality, sectors which are severely impacted by this pandemic, I think 2022 is going to be a crucial year to see how the pandemic is being dealt with. Omicron is a big indicator as to how economies stay open or shut down during that time, and then that we can have a more intelligent answer to that question. But yeah, it's not that it's bonuses are dropped across the board. It's certain industries who are much worse off than others.
Clearly, supply and demand of talent plays a crucial role here in determining the quantum of salary increases or bonuses. I do hear a lot of companies saying that, okay, right now it seems I have no choice. I, to some extent, have to throw money at the problem, in addition to looking at other differentiation practices in terms of HR policy. But how long can I go on paying inflated salaries, right? So what's your advice in the medium to long term for companies to get out of that cycle of having to throw money at the problem? I mean, a lot of experts say it's got to do with just training your staff, but I'm sure it's more than that. What do you think?
Yeah, I think this is the war for talent, as it's been put traditionally. It's just not a numbers game. It's not just acquiring talent at any cost. It's also understanding your workforce first. We call it in Aon accelerating the understanding of your own workforce. There is immense amount of data being generated every day, day in, day out, through exits, through engagement surveys, through compensation surveys like the one we just ran. And that helps in understanding where are the pockets of brilliance within your firm. And that is not just skills that are resident today, but a propensity or an ability to acquire those skills. So how we position this is, yes, you need to put your capital where it's more required, but you also need to start looking at what other opportunities are available for you to make the best use of your cost base. That may happen that you may want to look at a location strategy, which is looking at talent in Manila, for example. Or at a location which is not just low cost, but also devoid of any of the business risks that an organization may face. You have to recognize that it's not just people cost that impacts firms, it's also the other aspects of business risk which is impacting firms. So once we have a deep understanding of what is the pockets of brilliance, like I said, what risks impact our business, then you can say, we will incentivize change by putting in capital to develop talent. So it's essentially the thing, building new skills, but not just building skills on the back of intuition. Understanding which talent can actually acquire those new skills. And if you're trying to cut down workforce and the times are hard, you just don't throw the baby with the bathwater. You retain those talent which has the ability to change and then put in money to build those new skills.
Rahul, let's very quickly get through this last question. New year, new me. If I want to change jobs, which industry should I go into? I hope my boss not listening.
Yeah. So obviously, technology is what we would call a no-brainer, but I would say that it's not industries. All industries are converging towards one, towards a theme which is an underpinning of digital. So I would say that you and you need to keep yourself relevant. You need to, you had Bhati, I think, mentioned this, that people need to be agile. They need to learn. So that's what we call learning agility. Yeah. So I would strongly recommend you to be to test yourself on learning agility. And keep yourself more relevant in whatever workforce you work stream you are. So there is a talent supply mismatch, supply demand mismatch. So if you are relevant, you will never be short of new opportunities.
Yeah. Well, learning agility. My colleague Bharati was dead. Oh my God! I'm studying at the same time.
He is
so
upskilling for sure. And I think most of us should be upskilling. I mean, a career counselor once told me, always make sure you have enough so that you can walk away anytime.
Very nice.
That is the key. And there's so many things to walk towards these days. Thank you so much, Rahul, for filling us in on this whole report and how we should be moving ahead in the new year. Rahul Chawla is Head of Human Capital Solutions Southeast Asia at Aon. Take care and stay safe. Yeah, Rahul?
Thank you. Happy New Year.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.